Hi, I'm Chuck White, and welcome to Senators Live. Today marks the 34th day of the partial government shutdown. We have some special guests on the show today, four senators who are very crucial to the Budget Committee. The Budget Committee, as I'm sure most of you know, has been in the spotlight recently due to the topic of the wall. Will they ever agree on a budget for Trump's wall? Honestly, I don't even think they know. Stay tuned to hear more. First, let's hear from the Budget Committee Chairman himself, Mike Enzi.
Hi, I'm Mike Enzi, and I'm going to talk about my role as chairman. I'm going to talk about my role as chairman of the Budget Committee. I use my position as chairman of the Budget Committee and a member of the Finance Committee to advance policies that will help put our fiscal house in order while promoting a healthy economy and keeping more money in the pockets of hardworking taxpayers. As one of only two accountants in the U.S. in the United States Senate, I know how important it is to reduce the national debt by controlling spending and following a budget. The United States has a spending problem, and hard-earned tax dollars are wasted by Washington. Most Americans know that federal spending is on an unsustainable course, with the deficit expected to reach almost $800 billion in 2018 and more than $1.5 trillion by 2028. All this overspending is causing the federal debt to balloon. America's debt is at its highest level since World War II, a burden that our children and grandchildren will be forced to bear. While serving as chairman of the Budget Committee, I've worked hard to advance budget resolutions that could put the federal government on a better fiscal path by restraining spending, reducing tax burdens, and boosting economic growth. If Congress followed these fiscal blueprints, the government would be on track to live within its means in just 10 years' time. Unfortunately, shortly after passing these responsible budgets, Congress ignored them.
Well, now you've heard from Mike Enzi on his role as chairman of the Budget Committee. Now we're going to hear from Bernie Sanders, who is going to talk about his role on the committee.
Hi, my name is Bernie Sanders. I am an American politician, and I have been serving as a junior United States Senator from Vermont since 2007. As an independent, I worked out a deal with the Senate Democratic leadership in which I agreed to vote with the Democrats on all procedural matters unless the Democratic whip, Dick Durbin, agreed that he need not. In return, I was allowed to keep my seniority, and I received the committee seats that would have been available to me as a Democrat. In 2013 through 2014, I was chairman of the United States Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs. I became the ranking minority member on the Senate Budget Committee in January 2015. I had previously been chair of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee for 2 years. Since January of 2017, I have been chair of the Senate Democratic Outreach Committee. I appointed economics professor Stephanie Kelton, a modern monetary theory scholar and self-described deficit owl, as the chief economic advisor for the committee's Democratic minority, and presented a report aimed at helping rebuild the disappearing middle class, which included proposals to raise the minimum wage, boost infrastructure spending, and increase Social Security payments.
Now that you've heard from Bernie Sanders and Mike Enzi, we're going to take a short 30-second break, and then we'll be back with Patty Murray talking about her role in the Budget Committee. Would you like to become more politically active? Do you feel like you didn't do your duty as a citizen in the midterms? Do you want your voice and opinions to be heard? Are you unsure how to do these things? Are you eager to learn how to? Then you should think about reading the new book, How to Convince People You Are Always Right and Their Opinions Are Always Wrong, A Guide to Politics in the 21st Century, by critically acclaimed author
John Cena!
This masterpiece is only $39.99 plus shipping and handling. Order your copy today. Welcome back, everyone, and now to our next guest, Patty Murray.
Hi, everyone. I'm Patty Murray. I was the first female to serve as chair of the Budget Committee. At a time when our nation faces serious economic and financial challenges, I believe the Budget Committee can be a place where we come together and tackle them in a balanced way to work for the middle-class families. I am looking forward to working with my colleagues to write a budget resolution that does exactly that. Budgets are too often discussed in terms of abstract numbers and political winners and losers. but they are really reflections of our values and priorities and our visions for what we believe the government should look like now and in the future. As chairman of the budget committee, I am going to be very focused on making sure the government is supporting job creation and encouraging broad-based economic growth. I feel very strongly that the prosperity and growth comes from the middle out, not from the top down. I plan to bring the voices of the American people into the budget process in conversations that is too limited often to bureaucrats and politicians. I am going to be asking people across the country to share their stories and ideas from both online and in person. I'm going to urge them to organize, advocate, and lobby for their budget values and priorities. And I'm going to work every day to make sure their voices are heard loud and clear in our hearings on the Senate floor and through their processes.
Our next guest is Tim Kaine, who most of you know from being the vice presidential candidate for Hillary Clinton, but is actually a very important part of the budget committee. Now to you, Tim.
Hi, my name is Tim Kaine, and I support a smart and balanced approach to budgeting that funds our national defense, children's health care, education, substance abuse prevention, and other key programs. I am a leader in helping Congress come to bipartisan, multi-year spending agreements that fund these critical domestic priorities and the military. I support a two-year budgeting, which is a process I used as governor of Virginia to help businesses and agencies plan ahead and save money. Since taking office, I have raised concerns about the negative effects of crisis-to-crisis budgeting and its effects on the nation's economy, and I have done everything I can to roll back the non-strategic sequester cuts that have been hurting our national security and communities across Virginia. I believe fiscal policy should not be determined by political brinkmanship, and I have opposed across-the-board cuts that hurt key priorities like education and healthcare, which hamper our economic growth. I will continue to fight back against any efforts to slash funding for Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, programs that offer a critical lifeline for seniors, people with disabilities, and the most vulnerable Americans. I'm committed to finding common ground on budget reforms that strengthen the economy over the long run. I have always believed we should combine targeted spending reductions with strategic revenues by reducing tax loopholes. In the past, I have been disappointed with the partisan Republic tax bill passed in December of 2017, which is projected to add more than $1.5 trillion to the deficit over the next 10 years, while prioritizing big breaks to large corporations and those at the top over hardworking Virginia families. I support reforms to the tax code that put middle-class families and small businesses first.
Next, we're going to hear from Mike Inzi again, and he's going to talk more about being the chairman of the budget committee and some of his opinions on how it could improve.
The truth is, America's budget and operations process is broken, and this dysfunction is preventing Congress from tackling our country's pressing fiscal challenges. Fiscal reform is needed now if we hope to avoid disaster. We need enforceable fiscal targets that are monitored and enforced annually to make sure lawmakers stay focused on deficit reduction and achieving a sustainable federal budget. If we followed my penny plan, for example, and cut spending by just 1% each year, 1 cent of every dollar spent for the next 5 years, we could balance the budget. We also need to change the way Congress considers annual spending bills. The current process means that Congress finds itself in a nearly perpetual quest to develop and pass 12 funding bills for the next fiscal year to avoid a funding lapse. And yet, the sheer size and complexity of the federal budget and operations process virtually guarantees that Congress will not consider all of the appropriations bills individually each year. That's why I have called for moving to a biennial spending plan like Wyoming uses. Specifically, if we move to a two-year funding cycle and halved the number of bills that Congress must consider each year from 12 to 6, we could allow Congress to devote more time to needed oversight of federal spending, which would help us identify duplication and wasteful programs. Such a reform would make it more likely that Congress would complete its work on time, reducing the likelihood of continuing funding resolutions of large year-end spending bills, which are inefficient and too often loaded with wasteful spending.
Our next topic is the hottest topic being debated in the Senate right now and the main reason for this government shutdown. President Trump is asking for $5 billion for his wall. Let's get the opinions of the people who would directly affect this legislation. Senator Kane, what do you think?
I don't support the Trump's border wall because I don't think we should be spending American tax dollars when there are more important issues to focus on.
What about you, Senator Sanders?
I do not support the wall. I think the wall is an absurd idea. I think it's a waste of money. It just fans Trump's illusions. No, I am not going to support $5 billion or money for a wall. I also think that Trump lies on this when he suggests that Democrats or progressives are not concerned about border security. Of course we are. Everybody is concerned about border security. But if you want to do border security intelligently and cost effectively, you don't do it with a wall. There are much better approaches than that.
And what do you think, Senator Murray?
There is no question the U.S. immigration system is in need of some serious overhaul, but targeting hardworking families constructing an extremely costly wall, and this doesn't even begin to explain the complexities of this issue. And in fact, this could set us back. Instead of President Trump's wall, we could invest $25 billion to combat the opioid epidemic, improving our schools and repairing our infrastructure. $25 billion can construct 11,000 water projects to repair and upgrade drinking water and sewer systems nationwide and create more than 500,000 construction jobs. But yet, we're wasting our money on a wall.
And now, what do you think, Mr. Enzi?
In my opinion, a wall is the only way to stop illegal immigration. An important part of securing our nation is securing our borders. Illegal immigration is just that, illegal, and it should be treated as such. Federal law provides the authority to address the illegal population within our borders. But these laws have not been enforced properly. Better enforcement of our laws is the first step, and the administration is working on that. I oppose amnesty for illegal immigrants. Congress should continue to examine our immigration policy and determine what legislation is needed in what areas. I have co-sponsored a bill to prevent separating children from their parents. The government has a responsibility to enforce its laws, and the people who want to come into this country need to follow them. We can ensure our immigration laws are compassionate along with being fair to American citizens. Immigration reform is best dealt within small pieces instead of comprehensive legislation, a strategy that has failed in the past.
Next, I want to hear your thoughts on the shutdown. As you know, this shutdown has been going on since December 22nd, and we're now on day 34, which makes it the longest shutdown in American history. This is because Democrats and Republicans can't seem to agree on a budget for Trump's wall, which he's saying that is necessary to the American people. Senator Sanders, what are your thoughts on the shutdown?
I believe that we need a comprehensive immigration reform that has to include 800,000 dreamers, young people who are brought into this country as infants. But it has to go beyond that. But what this shutdown is about is most certainly not just the dreamers. We are into almost 4 months of the fiscal year, and Republicans have not yet given us a budget, an annual budget. And this is not the way you run a $4 trillion entity, which is called the United States government. Just the other day, the United States Armed Forces, the Pentagon, the Secretary of Defense, said it was impossible for him to do his job. It is responsible. It is wasteful. It is dangerous for the Pentagon if they don't have an annual budget. We have got to give it to them. I think we have to look at it in a comprehensive way. But the point right now is just the other night, Mitch McConnell understood that he needed 60 votes to continue the continuing resolution. And yet he went forward knowing he did not have the 60 votes. So it is time for the Republicans. Let's be clear. They control the House. They control the Senate. They control the White House. They've got to sit down and negotiate and understand they can't get everything they want. What we're asking for is three things. We are asking for an annual budget which will provide equally for defense and non-defense spending. We are asking that months and months after these terrible disasters impacted Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, that we deal with disaster relief. And we are asking what the American people want. Recent poll had 87% of the American people saying that Dreamers should receive, retain their legal status that Trump took away from them. And most of those folks think there should be a path towards citizenship.
And what are your thoughts, Senator Kane?
We need to reopen the government because we need to provide relief to everyone that has been affected by the shutdown, especially the federal employees that are still working hard through the shutdown without pay. My End Shutdowns Act will end the threat of future shutdowns and how they impact the millions of Americans that rely on the many government services. We cannot keep putting the American people through this.
And you, Senator Murray?
President Trump is refusing to reopen the federal government until he gets taxpayers' money for the wasteful border wall. That means hundreds of thousands of Americans right now are going to work and not getting paid. Millions more are affected by the fact that the federal government cannot carry out basic functions. These people are being held hostage in an issue that they don't need to be held hostage in. President Trump has made a singular issue that he has manufactured into a crisis. This 34-day shutdown has caused tremendous damage in Washington State and across the country. Uncertainty for workers and families, unpaid bills, economic tolls on communities, services jeopardized or put on hold, delays at the airport and critical federal agencies, trash piling up at our national parks, and so much more. The level of chaos and dysfunction the American people are forced to deal with over the past month is absolutely terrible. This has no place in the United States of America.
And what do you think, Senator Enzi?
I am one of the 8 Republican senators to propose the End Government Shutdowns Act, which would create an automatic continuing resolution for any regular appropriations bill not completed by the October 1st deadline. In a press release, my fellow senator, Steve Daines, said, "Shutdowns don't work, yet we're seeing them happen time and time again. The End Government Shutdowns Act will hold Congress accountable to funding the government and ensure the hard-working folks aren't paying the price for the partisan political games being played in D.C. I believe that shutting down the government disrupts lives both inside and outside the government. We could avoid future shutdowns altogether if Congress would pass the End Government Shutdowns Act."
Now that we're all on the same page, and I'm aware that all of you agree that the government should be reopened, let's all have a conversation on just some current events and our opinions on these hot topics.
This shutdown is really affecting our committee because people are expecting us to plan the budget for the wall and everything around it, but we can't do that if the government is shut down.
I think we can all agree that our committee is heavily affected by this wall and this budget thing, like Tim Kaine said.
All these current events have taken a toll on the American citizens and our budget committee. I agree with my fellow senators, Mr. Sanders and Mr. Kaine, on this topic.
I do agree that this current government shutdown in the wall business is heavily affecting our committee, but we could easily end this shutdown if us Republicans and the Democrats were to agree on a plan to a sort of compromise that we could agree on to agree to build the wall, because that would make President Trump happy and it would satisfy the Democrats as well.
Why should we be pleasing one person, that person being President Trump, when we should be pleasing the rest of the millions of Americans in the United States?
I completely agree with Senator Kaine, but Senator Enzi, how is this a compromise? How does this please both Republicans and Democrats?
Before Senator Enzi answers, I would like to say that just a compromise is something that benefits both parties, and I don't think that this wall would be benefiting both Democrats and Republicans. It would be mostly benefiting Republicans and people that support President Trump, while the Democrats would not be getting anything out of the compromise. Anything to add, Senator Enzi?
Republican Donald Trump is requesting $5 billion to build a wall. And I think that if we were to be able to cut this money down less, it would please the Democrats. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Enzi. But I'm sorry, but we actually have just run out of time. So I would like to thank all of you for coming onto the show today. I think that I got to see a lot more of you guys and hear how you are really being impacted by these things and all of your opinions on the issues going on right now, including the shutdown and the wall. And I'm sure that the people that are going to listen to this are going to feel very knowledgeable and more aware of how you guys are actually feeling and dealing with all these situations. So thank you to Senator Sanders, Murray, Enzi, and Kane for coming on to the show today. And I will see all of you guys tomorrow on the show. We are going to be welcoming a few members of the House, actually, to get their opinion on all of these things. Thank you.